In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The hymns for Matins for this day in which we commemorate the dead are quite beautiful. The Matins is actually an extended Panagida. The Panagida that we know of, that many people, they only know of that service for the dead, is a shortening of the Matins service. And the Matins service has so many beautiful hymns in it. Near the end of it, there was a hymn. And I'll be honest with you, I don't remember the words. But that doesn't matter, because the words were inscribed on my heart. The meaning of the words were inscribed on my heart. I used to be concerned sometimes. I thought some hymn was very beautiful, and it really made an impression on me. And then I couldn't remember the exact words. But that doesn't matter. What matters is, how much does it affect you? How much does it really change the way you live? Now, I wonder about this hymn, how much it's going to change the way I live, or the way you live. The basic idea of the hymn was that we're looking earthward all the time. Why couldn't that be? That doesn't make any sense. All this is going to pass away, and then there will be eternity. And yet we think about temporary things. And the hymn is basically sort of a lament by the person saying, I don't know why I do these things. I don't know why I do them either. And I hope that you don't know why, or that you wonder why you think of earthly things and not heavenly things. On a day like today, we're thinking of heavenly things. We're thinking of people who were put into the earth, but we're thinking of heavenly things. The reading, the second reading for the day in the epistle, which is the one for the dead from Thessalonians, has that wonderful image. But it's not just an image, it's a reality. And it reminded me of the hymn that I heard that really made an impression on me. Because the Lord will come from the heavens with all the angels, with all the saints. He'll come as a king, and he'll come, and it will be an instantaneous judgment of all men, and we will be with the Lord, it says. No longer having any of this temporary stuff and of this painful stuff that goes on in the world. But we will have lived to the end, and then to the end that has no end. So why is it that we concern ourselves with these small things in life? Why is it that we're proud? Why is it that we're concerned about acquiring things? Why is it that we're concerned that someone thinks such a way about us, even an invisible person in social media? Why is it that we care about those things? That's a great mystery to me, but I think it's not a mystery at all about how we can stop thinking of those things by doing things like this. If you look at the way the world treats death, they're sorry about someone who dies. They eulogize them. They talk about how great their life was, how much they'll miss them, how much of an impression they've made on other people, the things they've done, the legacy they have, and not a word about praying for them. And then after the funeral is done, the people go home. And they don't remember their loved one on the third day or the ninth day or the 40th day or every year. Because their life is in this world. Our life is not in this world. So it's a really profound statement that we look to the heavenly world, even while we're living here on the earth, that we pray for the dead. Because the dead are, shall we say, a little bit closer to what we're going to be at. They're just a little bit ahead of us, only a tiny bit. And we'll all be in the same situation when the Lord will be coming on the clouds and we will be judged. The Lord will look in our hearts and see whether or not he sees himself in us or not. And there will be no spin like the world gives. There won't be any delusion as the world gives. There will just be the truth. So we should live for the truth. And I think it's important, even in a parish environment, to say these services as completely as we can. We do the full Matins service, and we also then, of course, serve liturgy and pray for the repose of those who have gone before us, because we are going to go the same place they've went. So we should be thinking of heavenly things. Now that we don't do it all the time, unfortunately, God forgive us for that. But this is our effort to think of heavenly things before we think of earthly things. To pray for those who no longer can in the flesh pray for us, but we have confidence and hope that they are praying for us now in the Spirit. I want to tell you just a couple things from this gospel from St. John, because it's so powerful. There's a lot in the Gospels of St. John that are, there's a lot more than meets the eye. Basically, almost every page of St. John, the Lord is declaring his divinity. And here he is also, but in a somewhat hidden way, in a way that you have to understand how Scripture speaks in order to see him saying it. So he says, "The one who heareth my word and believeth the one who sent me hath everlasting life, and cometh not not into judgment, but hath passed out of death into life." There's a lot of passing and passages and traveling that goes on in the Scriptures, right? The Jews going across the Red Sea, a passage from death to life. But then what happened after they passed through the Red Sea? They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because of their sins. It was basically, at the most, a two-week trip. And it took 40 years because of their sins. They were passing, they had passed over from death to life, and then they had gone back to death. So it took them more time for the Lord to teach them those 40 long years. We're passing over from death to life. Do you feel it happening in your life? I think we should really feel it. We should feel the passage of death to life. We should see things that are dead and see that we're putting off those things. Those things are not so important to us anymore. And we should see life blossoming in us. But it's only beginning. It's not fulfilled yet. The fulfillment will be in the next life. But there is a passage, a journey for each one of us from death to life. And if we recognize that and see that, then truly we are starting to live as true Christians. Then he says, "An hour cometh and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they who hear shall live." What an amazing thing for the dead to hear the voice of the Son of God. For us who become moldy and dust and are joined back to the earth so that there is no evidence whatsoever that we even lived, the Lord will speak to us and we will hear. And then he says something that refers to his divinity. I just want to point it out because this happens all the time in Scripture, especially in St. John's Gospel. So he says, "Even as the Father hath life in himself, he also gave to the Son to have life in himself." Now, it's said in a kind of funny way, but what the Lord is saying here is that he is God before the ages, having been begotten of the Father. The Father being the internal source and giving all things eternally to the Son and to the Spirit. So if the Father has life in himself, then certainly the Son and the Spirit also have life in themselves because they are of one essence with the Father. So he's saying here a statement that he is God, that he is God before the ages. But then right after he says that, he says he also gave authority to execute judgment, that he is the Son of Man. Cease marveling at this, because he is the Son of God before all ages, but he became the Son of Man in time because he was born of a virgin, born of a human being, became a human being completely. So he is the Son of Man, although there was no human man who is his father. He is the Son of humanity. He is a human being as we are. And he says, right after he says that he is basically one with the Father, he says, "I'm also the Son of Man, but don't marvel at this." How can we stop marveling at this? This is the most amazing miracle of the entire universe, that God, who created the entire universe, would contain himself within the womb of a created woman and become also man, so that he is not only Son of God, he is Son of Man. These are mysterious things. I hope that we pray for the dead. I hope that in your house that daily you pray for the dead. I'll let you in on a little secret. Well, for those who pray for the dead, it's not a secret. It's actually kind of hard to do it. And sometimes it gets kind of tedious. Sometimes you just start saying names and it's very hard to really have each name resonate in your soul. Well, that's because we're passing over from death to life. There's still death in us. If we had only life in us, then every name would resonate. There would be power when we speak each name. But instead, we're passing over from death to life. So it's tedious sometimes, especially if you have many, many names to commemorate every day. But do it anyway. Do it with effort. And God will reward that effort. And you will start to be thinking more of eternal things and less of temporal things. And start living as a true Christian. May God bless us and help us in all things. Amen.